treat for you this week. I have made a trip all the way to London to interview another band. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
We are a band called Double Experience from Ottawa, Ontario. I'm Tim, I play bass.
I'm Brock, I play guitar.
And I'm Ian, and I sing.
And we are missing
Kenny the drummer.
Because apparently he's a little shy. Honestly, I don't bite, so maybe next time if you guys are out this way again, he'll
definitely
be brave enough to join in. So you guys are out in London, just did a show this week.
Yep. Play on Monday night at the APK.
And how'd the show go?
Went pretty well. We played with a band called The Baxters, so if you haven't checked them out, you should. Very good rock band, but the show went quite well. For a Monday night, we did quite well in attendance. It was pretty well attended.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain like the bar was kind of like, oh, you know, like, is there really going to be that many people out? Because, like, I never staff. I'm like I've, you know, these numbers have gone for tickets, so they're like, ah, okay. And then, sure enough, it was, like, pretty
packed.
Pretty good show,
it was a nice show.
It was fun.
And I had it stuck in my head it was Tuesday night.
I know, we were gutted. We saw the tweet, and we were like,
oh, we're just sitting in the hotel room now.
It happens. But, so how'd the band get together?
Well, the band is a process of elimination by other musical experiments, I guess if you want to call it that way. Ian and the drummer played together in their own band, and one by one, they were sort of assimilated with me, and then Tim joined the end of 2011.
2 years ago, I guess, just all from different bands and stuff, and Kenny, the drummer, texted me through a friend and said, you play bass, right? Want to join a band? I said, sure, why not? And you've been best friends ever since.
So things are going well. You've got an album out?
Yes, we released our first record, One Big Quicksand, probably 2.5 years ago, I think. And we are just in the final process of getting our follow-up to that, Tribes. Which will get released in August, but we'll have it as a tour exclusive coming up on our U.S. tour in June.
Yeah, before this summer, we were exclusively releasing the music on, like, trading card format, so instead of, an actual physical CD, which, you know,
no one likes anymore.
And we hear that vinyl is, like, a collectible thing, so we said, well, what's, like, the true collectible, which is trading cards? So there's, like, different songs on each one, videos, wallpapers, all kinds of things. If fans collect all of them, they actually get a secret prize, so... Mm-hmm. To us, it was cooler to do that way, and now that's sort of like the precursor to the entire record with more songs.
We're just a bunch of nerds who happen to play music, so why not have Pokemon cards with music on them?
Exactly.
Each card has a little monster on it, so...
Well, that's definitely different.
Yeah.
Definitely different.
Yeah.
It's a way to get people kind of interested in your music.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of interesting, though, because CD sales have been, like, declining for years, and people come to the merch and they're like, oh, what is this? And look, oh, it's, like, download cards, and they're kind of like, oh, but you don't have a CD. It's like, but you don't want a CD. And they're like, well, I don't know anything else to have. Like, so
yeah,
it's weird.
I always picture them taking the drop cards and, like, stick them in their CD player in the cards. And I'm like, why? Whoa,
it's not working.
Is this like a floppy disk? Like,
yeah.
Oh, there's old technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say,
half the kids.
I didn't think you could put music in.
Kids are like, isn't that the save button? What's a floppy disk?
Yeah, save button on Microsoft Word.
Okay, that's up with the older generation. Know what floppies are. 3.25 and 5.5.
I use those in grade 1 to play the games on DOS.
I'm still using my 3.25-inch floppy, man.
Yeah.
Best part of touring.
Other than the playing the music, I'd say, and we probably all agree, is the food.
Yes.
Mm.
We are huge foodies, and whenever we get to a new city, we try to find the best food around. But our number one is Indian food.
Yep.
We just love eating curry all the time.
It's like, we hear a lot of bands, you know, say the horror stories of, you know, we only had like $10 to split every day, and we say, no, let's not get a hotel, let's not do this, let's all pool the money we made today, have these, like, big, like, family dinners, basically. We go to, like, try and experiment as much as we can, because, you know, usually most bands, after a show, at 1 a.m, like, what's open, McDonald's or fast food, but we, like, refuse that. We say, no, we will wait, we'll starve ourselves, take as much time as it takes to get, like, the right dish.
Mm-hmm.
Ian's on almost a religious path to find the hottest curry he can eat. And the first time we were in England, I guess 2 years ago now, our first family meal went to a place called Mr. India. And what was it?
Chicken Naga,
which was a ghost pepper. And he claims that he went blind throughout the meal because he was seeing stars. It was so hot.
Yeah, it was. I was unprepared because I'd had it was called like a vindaloo, you know, normally traditionally like pretty spicy. And so. it was like right underneath the vindaloo on the menu, and it was like a flavor you've never experienced. And I was like, guys, like, come on, I'm adventurous with the food. And I was like, you know how I asked the server, I was like, is it hotter than the vindaloo? He's like, oh no, it's fine. I was like, oh okay, like, I'll give it a try, and it like it put me on the floor. it was
intense.
Extremely intense.
There's been a couple times where we've walked into the room to see Ian with his shirt off in the fetal position in the corner, sweating from the hot sauce he's just ingested.
Because even if we do have to get fast food, we actually tour the collection of hot sauces, so we'll try different sauces on different foods, and we obviously only pack the spiciest.
Yeah.
Usually Ian is the first to be down.
We put a video up on Instagram the other day of me in significant pain.
I'll have to check that out later. Put a link up to it.
Yeah, we will.
If you end up down in Tennessee in Gatlinburg, there is a hot sauce shop.
Wow.
That's all they carry.
We will be there soon.
The hottest stuff we've ever found is in that shop.
Oh, yeah?
So.
Well, we actually started doing this contest where we actually give out samples of hot sauce at the table, and we say, for $5, we challenge you to try our array of hot sauces. And if you can survive all of them, like the different levels, you get, the first one, you get like some music. The second one, you get like a signed poster. And then if they can do the top one, it's like an extra special prize. So we've actually started doing that. It's been awesome.
We figure like we have it anyways, and it's like we love hot sauce, and it's a way for us to kind of like
connect with some fans.
Connect with some fans, you know, and on a level that hopefully.
What a better way to connect than extreme amounts of pain.
Well, you know, something for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So you've been to the UK.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, the first time with the UK, it was like literally our first time all of us playing on the same stage together, because as I said, the band you see before you today is an assimilation of different members coming and going. But that was the first time. It was like the first tour in a different country, a first for everybody, very, very daunting. And the second time I went to the UK, we wanted to call the tour 50 Shows of A, like a parody of 50 Shades of Grey. So we said to our agent, you have to book 50 shows. I don't care where they are, but they have to be 50 shows. And we ended up playing anything from like janitor's closets to the Cardiff Arena. And it was, by day 30, we were just sick and miserable and exhausted. But it was still really fun.
Years of a lifetime. Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm glad that we got to do that huge tour the second time through. Because the first time, we're all just kind of like, okay, like, this is a new country. Like, yeah, they speak English, but, like, some of the customs are a little different. And
the slang.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Welsh language.
Well, I mean, here we all kind of sound relatively the same. I mean, obviously, there's, like, Maritimers.
Hosers.
Your hoser, like, you know, stuff like that. And
we don't say A nearly as much
exactly.
as people think.
We were fighting the good fight for Canadians.
Yeah, that was their number one joke towards us.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Canada, eh?
Yeah, which was as soon as after they found out we weren't Americans, they were pretty cool
with
us. But yeah, every day on tour in England, you wake up in a different city with a different dialect, maybe in a different language, and it was so hard to like get used to that culture shock in a way. But,
yeah, I mean, because you go expecting, they speak English, so this is probably like a safe like place for us to have our first like over the ocean international touring experience, and it's like, nope. You know, you wake up in Liverpool and they're saying, hey, good day, and I'm like, you speak in English? Like, no clue.
But again, culturally though, the music scene over in England was like
amazing.
It's amazing. Such a different experience. They all seem more open to just local bands. They're not just saying, well, if there's no big headliner, I don't want to go see the show. People just go out because they want to have a good time.
And get a drink.
They're going to have a drink. They're going to go to the pub and just watch whatever band's playing.
Yep.
And we made a lot of friends that way.
I guess not being covered in snow all the time helps too. So.
They didn't get much snow this year.
No. Lots of rain, I guess.
I had a buddy there last year who he was like in London, and they got like a centimeter of snow, and he was like
complaining.
He was just like, "This is hilarious," because like the whole city like shut down.
You get just a dusting of snow, and England shuts down. Yeah. Graham was saying they didn't get much this year. He does an acoustic podcast, so.
We love learning.
Yeah.
Yes.
For that acoustic one, we actually try to rewrite our own songs for acoustic formats. We'll try to change them up so they're not as. I mean, Brock could tell you a bit more how the guitar.
Yeah, we are a heavy band, and we realize that when you play heavy music on acoustic guitar, it just sounds like nonsense, right? So we challenge ourselves and say, you know, reimagine it, maybe try like a bossa nova style, maybe try doing it. So it still kind of sounds like the same song, but has like a funkier component to it, or a loungier.
Yeah, so we have acoustic tracks for that acoustic one if you'd like.
I'm sure Graham would love to get some stuff. I can dig up his email address and drop it for you too.
Yeah. Perfect.
Now, do you guys ever do cover stuff?
We do.
Yep, we'd like to, usually every tour, give something new, because even if we don't always go on a new adventure and we're playing someplace like the sixth time, we realize people, we like to think our music's good, but sometimes people want to hear something, hear us do something new. So
we try to do one new cover per tour usually.
Yep, this tour happens to be AC/DC. So
when you do like tour places and stuff, it's kind of like you're always trying to like win over more people. I mean, we're not a big band by any stretch, so it's like, you know, we're playing to our fans, our small group of fans in every city, but also like hoping to win over people. And what better ways to like play a song that they know?
Yeah, it's called Red Rose.
Play a song they know, they get singing along, you re-engage them, it gets them back interested in whatever you're playing next.
Exactly.
It's always a good thing to do. So what's your favorite AC/DC cover to do?
We're doing Highway to Hell on this tour, and it segues into our single Who the Hell, and that's been sort of like a 1-2 punch that seems to go over really well, because as soon as people realize, oh my god, they're covering Highway to Hell, like it's the transition so natural to our song, and they're like, wow, I get it. You know,
people seem to enjoy it. We've done ABBA in the past, Queen.
You've done ABBA.
Sorry, not ABBA. Bee Gees.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
That fits with ABBA? Disco, really?
Bee Gees.
Yep. Staying Alive.
I made the same mistake the first time, though.
I always mix those bands up.
But they're probably a little before most of your time.
Oh,
but that's the thing. We were raised on the good music. Like, there wasn't...
We had good parents.
Yeah, very... Parents had a lot of, like, Phil Collins and Genesis records lying around. Led Zeppelin records.
Beatles. Yeah, Pink Floyd. Like, all the stuff that kids now could have no clue these bands. Like, oh, yeah, we're Beatles shirts. Like, name your Beatles song. Like,
grew up listening to that stuff.
Which is strange, because I think out of all of our parents were never really took a musical path in life, but they had great music lying around, which I guess was enough to usher in a new generation of people who really wanted to
pursue
music.
We have a box of vinyl.
Yeah. He's just
standing
He started really collecting violin.
I bought a bunch over there. What did I buy? I forget. Greg Keane band?
Marshall
Tucker, Willie Nelson. Last week I bought a bunch of Springsteen records and stuff.
The quality on vinyl is so much better than CD, so...
I just bought a record player for the first time.
Again, we take advantage of the fact that because we travel so many different places, we're always on Kijiji or Craigslist or going to the different...
Little record shops.
Sort of places that can offer... Because we all collect a number of things, but yeah, if we were to ignore all of our opportunities to do things like that.
What do you collect, Brock? I think that'd be pretty interesting to share.
I collect horror movie memorabilia. I'm like a huge like Texas Chainsaw Massacre nerd, and then it sort of sent me on this quest to get every single piece of paraphernalia ever made by that franchise, as well as every other horror movie memorabilia.
This room is pretty, in his bedroom.
It is a shrine.
If a stranger were to walk in, they'd probably think he's a serial killer. He has the same model of chainsaw sitting in his bedroom from the original Chainsaw movie, and posters all over the wall, dolls that make noises when you wave
by them.
Hey,
they are action figures.
They're action figures. They're not dolls.
Sorry, action figures that...
I have action figures in my house, too.
Hey, nice, see? Yeah. Did you compromise the original packaging? Did you take them out and play with them a little bit?
I didn't take them out and play with them. Somebody else did.
I play with them, yeah. I'm like in my room at night. I'm like revving up.
So we've got gargoyle figures in the computer room.
Even that 1990s cartoon? Dude, ooh, that show is awesome.
Yep. I love that show when I was a kid.
Yeah, I used to have like a big full-scale Goliath one. He was awesome.
Yeah, we've got the smaller ones. I think we've got most of them.
When you like squeeze their legs and their wings would flap.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we went to yard sales and got doubles so the kids could have ones to play with.
Okay. I was
going to
say, I guess you wouldn't know because you keep yours in your package, but when you play with these toys, you know, you squeeze and they flap.
I'm not as bad as my cousin.
Okay.
He has like Star Wars and all kinds. Still in the original packaging up in the attic at his mom's, and she's like, take your stuff and get it out. But do you collect?
I've just started collecting vinyl, really, is mostly it. That's my number one thing. I've just been collecting music. I guess I collect movie posters as well. I work at a movie theater. I'm really, really into film as a general thing. So when you work at the movie theater, you get all the movie posters.
You used to work at a video store, yeah.
So I collect all that.
I had far too many posters. They got donated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big sci-fi guy. So I've started collecting like all the comics from like Stargate from when like the movie came out in the early 90s, and then also all the shows for like SG-1 and Atlantis and SG-1.
Galaxies.
Yeah.
Oh, the Stargate Universe one was like amazing. Yeah. Canceled it after 2 years. I was so heartbroken.
And they didn't even give us a good wrap up.
No, I know. It was just like, yeah, we're going to go and I hope I'm not spoiling this, but it was like, you know, we're just going to isolate ourselves in the cryostasis things and we'll arrive at the end. I was like that's such a cop out.
Yep. It happens. So, anybody collect anything else? What's your drummer collect? Anybody know?
He's a big like he likes to collect like music magazines.
AP, Rock Sound.
So how's the tour going this time around?
It's been really good. Like we have been touring across Canada since February, but in such a rush to get out to Calgary, out to the East Coast, we like skipped over Ontario pretty much. We wanted to like get back to like our home province and just really get to all the cities that we missed in February, March.
Just for specifically, we kind of had a lot more control like booking it ourselves. We tried to choose bands that we're friends with, so every show's been just like hanging out with our favorite bands in each city, so it's been a lot more relaxed and fun.
Yeah.
Relaxed and fun is always good.
Yeah.
If you know the bands, it tends to make the show a little bit better. So who are you playing with on, is it Saturday in Chatham Kent?
Saturday in Chatham Kent. Jeez, oh, I think there's a band called...
Dayless Losers?
Yeah, Dayless Losers, Crimson Graveyard, Athena Avera, and then Elastic, who are... for that particular Chatham Kent show, we played there in March 1st. There was such like a... like an outreach of bands, like we want to be on this show, and there was like
too many to do.
There's literally so many. So you're like, okay, we'll come back. But we could even process the amount of like choices that that we had there. So just like Tim said, it's usually just nice to give back and not always rely on someone else choosing what we can choose, and to say, you know what, we'll give you guys a shot, because you know maybe one band plays a lot of shows, but this one band doesn't get a chance by the community. So we put them on.
Obviously, you have no video capabilities here, but you just. He's very good at making posters. He recreated a Nintendo Power issue for our show poster.
Yeah. So feel free to message that to me, and I can stick a link up on the page.
Cool. I guess the way it goes, it's like all other bands from other countries will look to Canada, but all the Canadians will say, no, like screw a Canadian podcast. We want to look outside. And they don't worry. Just like in their own backyard, there's like great podcasts they could be a part of, but they're far too ambitious for their own good, I think, to... get some good groundwork underneath them, maybe.
You'd be surprised. I contact a lot of bands, and they go, really, you'll play us? It's like, yeah, I don't hate your music, so I'll play it. So I actually messaged a bunch of the guys we were playing with on Monday, and one of them actually got back to me and said, yeah, we'll send you stuff.
Oh, what is their band?
I'd have to check my email. I'm really bad at remembering names.
It was a really good night for, like, music. I mean,
they're all good bands,
I was like really thrilled when I was booking it, because there were so many like quality bands that were like, yeah, like, I'd love to do this show.
Good rock bands, yeah.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, for every show, I kind of make like a dream list of like, okay, who would I love on this show? And then it's like, if they get like, it's normally a first come, first serve when I like message bands, but like all the bands I wanted on this bill were like out. It was sweet.
It was our first time playing the APK. We've played London before a couple times at the Blackshire, and those shows have been... like Hail Marys, needless to say, in terms of organization and
the Baxters.
Band is sick.
Yeah. We bought their record when we played with them. It was such a good record.
Yeah.
They're an amazing live band.
Really cool. I emailed them on the 29th, and they got back to me later that night.
Yeah, they're sweet dudes. Really good music.
Mm-hmm.
Their music will be coming up on a future show.
Very
I'm not
nice.
Sure which one, but. It's been a slow crawl. I've been finding that I'm going back and playing bands I've played before because I'm having a hard time getting new stuff in.
Okay.
I actually got your stuff through John.
Oh, okay.
John sends me stuff almost daily, so every time I play something that he sent, it goes out on his blog. So hopefully I'm picking up listeners, which would be nice. And everybody else.
You got 3 new ones now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You've got 35 shows to listen to now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe you'll find some new bands to play with.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
We got 35 days till next tour, so.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, all the first bunch of shows are hour long, so enjoy. They shortened down to about half hour when I started doing The Vast Expanse, because working a 40-hour week, hard to squeeze this in.
Imagine.
And then we do medieval reenactment, too, so I have practice tonight.
Nice.
Got to do what you love, so. If I could get paid to podcast, you know, I'd quit everything else and just podcast.
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I've seen Ian wave a microphone stick around. I think if you give him like a joust or a spear of some kind, someone would lose an eye for sure.
Yeah, probably me.
So anybody watch Doctor Who?
My sister's a huge Doctor Who fan, but I can't. There's so much for me to like. If I wanted to start,
it's just
a daunting task.
Yeah, like a dense mythology that.
So watch season 4 with Tom Baker, and then you can jump right up to the Tennant episodes.
Okay, my sister's obsessed with David Tennant.
But see, without
most women,
without
are.
Your guidance, we would have wasted 1 in 4 seasons,
yeah.
And maybe by season 2.5, we would have said maybe Doctor Who's not the show.
You're gonna get a ton of hate mail now, though.
Oh, probably, but I'll stand behind it. Baker's my favorite.
The dude that was in Harry Potter, that was David Tennant as well, right? He's
He did play one character in it. Yeah,
he was Harry Potter.
Like, he was like the young Tom Riddle, like the young Tom Riddle, but like
no. He was the Barty Crouch's son, Barty Crouch the second or something. Yeah,
confirm or deny.
Legitimate. So Barty Crouch was like
IMDb. Yeah. It's your friend.
Goblet of Fire. Barty Crouch was like, yes, we're going to the Twilight Zone, and then it was his son in the movie.
Okay.
Who was the Mad-Eye Moody impersonator? That was David Tennant.
What's the new guy's name?
Matt Smith?
Yeah.
Or the new one.
He's not that
Matt
look.
Smith. There's another new one, right? Kill Matt Smith.
Capaldi.
Sister hates him.
Matt Smith took some getting used to.
It's a weird face.
It's like James Bond, right? This is like a different... Like
the bow ties and the fez made him unique.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of complaints about Capaldi because he's so much older.
Oh. Okay.
But he's not the oldest doctor ever cast. So Matt Smith was the youngest. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like you have to start from the beginning with that show, at least, or the reboot of it, and we just haven't had enough time.
So yes, David Tennant was in.
David Tennant was sick.
That's cool. For me.
There you go. Yeah. For once, I knew movie knowledge that Tennant doesn't know.
There you go.
And he did a voice in How to Train Your Dragon.
Really?
I haven't seen it.
Have you seen the trailer for number two? Looks
not
very
yet.
Good. Looks very good. Did you enjoy the first one?
Yes.
Yeah. Good movie. It's like one of those kids' movies where like adults can appreciate it.
Yeah, we have a collection of Disney stuff at home. Big collection.
It's good. My dad is obsessed with Pixar, so there's Pixar stuff all over my household. Toy Story collectibles signed by the cast, the director.
I have a whole bunch of lithographs, and I have like the Aristocats on VHS.
Cool.
I have Disney watches, and my favorite, I have a Tigger jacket.
That's sweet. Tigger was my favorite when I was younger.
Did you see that? The thing that they released like the other week, and it was the guy who voices Winnie the Pooh,
Jim Cummings.
Yeah, doing
Darth Vader. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It was like the Winnie the Pooh voice, but the Darth Vader lines. It's like unbelievable.
Disney's got rights to Star Wars now.
I know. They just announced the casting recently.
It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Oh, yes. I've been over the hill for a while.
If we don't ruin our bodies via tour, we will ruin our bodies via hot sauce. We're just going to keep climbing until we find that one that just puts us over the edge.
My doctor's going to hear this and, like, nail me to the wall with my stomach.
What did I tell you about coffee and you're going for hot
coffee,
sauce?
Coffee, hot sauce, Corey!
Well, at least you're not eating at McDonald's.
Which you can use in hot sauce, which at some point is just as detrimental.
Actually, I think that would be less detrimental.
Mm. Well, you know.
Last I checked, when someone put a cigarette right to their lips, nothing happened, but Ian put this one hot sauce just to his lips, and he was hallucinating. So,
not a good hot sauce.
Yeah. My vision is so skewered. Oh, it's horrible.
So,
but it's the endorphin.
Yeah, it happens. So what are the upcoming plans for the band?
Well, we... are playing CMW next week, which is our first time. That's very...
May 10th at the Hard Luck at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Plug.
It's very, very, very daunting, because it's our first time ever even just going to CMW to see what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we're touring the States. All the way down to Texas and back to the Midwest.
Yeah. I'm excited. Again, for the food. Barbecue, Texas barbecue.
Yeah.
Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Maybe.
Get some gumbo.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And then in August, we're heading back to the UK for the third time.
Yep. Playing any of the music fests in August?
In the UK?
Yeah, there's a couple coming up this summer.
We are agents in talks with the Welsh one, which has taken by Sunday Headlining. I'm praying for that one. That's about it, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. As Ian mentioned, we're not a colossal band by any means,
yeah.
So more than likely it'll still be the usual clubs and venues that we've become accustomed to.
So you've done more touring than most of the bands I've talked to, so...
Yeah.
We try.
It's like, if you're a band and not doing that touring, then it's like, why the hell do we have to garage this, you know, just... If you don't intend on being away from home very long and sacrificing a lot to do it, then...
The band I interviewed this morning, Persist, they just finished a tour with Five Finger Death Punch.
Oh, there you go. That's awesome.
They've done that 3 times.
That's
wow.
Sweet.
So, now I'm trying to get Five Finger Death Punch to send me some stuff for the show.
Sweet.
So.
That'd be cool.
Because I can play them on the Vast Expanse and get something new over there, so...
Hell yeah.
So, touring,
people
lots of fun.
I love that band.
It is...
Whenever they come up with a conversation, I was like... That so good.
And the number of people I talked to was like, who? What? Like, really?
It's almost
pretty
like,
big, I find, in the metal community.
Yeah.
I guess, like, as musicians, we kind of have this, like, skewed view of, like, how have you not heard of this band? Because, like, when we're not, like, on tour, like, whether, like, booking, if we're booking, we're, like, looking up bands, so it's, like, we get exposed to so much more music, I think, than, like, the average.
The masses who just get...
The number of hours I spend on SoundCloud and Reverb Nation and Jemendo.
Jemendo.
Never heard of that one.
You've never heard of Jemendo?
No. Okay, I'm right. Can we find bands on Jemendo and book them for our shows?
Probably. The majority of stuff on Jemendo is all Creative Commons, or it's usually, hey, you can play this track, but you have to credit us.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
How do you spell that?
Jamendo.com.
Jemendo. I spell it with Jim.
Jemendo.
Well, now you've got it. You can look them up.
Yeah.
And Jemendo has an iPhone app, so you can...
Oh, yes, the benefits of an iPhone, finally.
Yay!
They've got a SoundCloud app. They've got a Reverb Nation app, which I had to port all over to my Android. Scribble, scribble, scribble.
I can read this, but...
Well, I'm glad you can.
That's actually quite legible.
Oh, no, that's Jemendo. That's Chasing Avalon.
That's still legible.
Nope. Nope.
I'm used to reading chicken scratching that looks like a doctor's prescription, so that's legible.
Yeah, I have the worst handwriting. I remember, like, in, like, grade school, you had to get, like, your penmanship license. Everyone got it in, like, October. I didn't get it till, like, the end of the year. I was, like, the most depressed grade 3.
They've stopped doing that.
Yeah, because it hurts. Teachers, don't do that. It excludes. It hurt. It really...
Back in the day, they used to make kids stay in at recess to practice their penmanship.
I was one of those kids. Trust me, I spent more recesses indoors than
I did. You didn't get enough, recesses, I don't think.
Yeah.
Grade 3 used to have cursive perfect before they let you go from pencil to pen.
Yes! Yep. And I wasn't allowed to go to pen.
What do kids do now? Just change font? Like, teacher, can I change fonts yet? Well,
no Comic Sans, kids.
You guys have to have 120 words per minute, otherwise recess.
Yeah. No recess and no cursive font, damn it.
And most of the kids say it can touch type, but only with two fingers.
What?
Like this.
Like on the iPad and stuff?
Yeah. There's two fingers tapping away.
Crazy. That's like my grandparents, when they first got, like, a keyboard, they were like... And it's like, no, this is the proper form now. Kids are just like, two fingers.
Grade 9, typing, keyboards all painted over. You could not see your letters.
Really?
Yeah. That's cool. We had the blinders as well. I remember, like, grade 7 or grade 8, it was the blinders.
PC fast type.
Color-coded.
Seriously?
Everything on this finger was green. And these ones were orange,
man.
And these ones were blue, and these ones were red.
I had, like, a computer game. It was, like, Reading Rabbit or something. And it was, like,
to teach you to type.
Mm-hmm.
We had that one at our house, too.
That's what I used to learn.
And it said, like, obviously you couldn't tell, but it'd be like, middle finger has to be on these buttons, and then, like, you'd type a word, and they'd be like, are you using your middle finger? Yes.
Yes, I am. It taught me that one of the longest words to spell in one hand is lollipop. That's all on the same side of the keyboard.
Interesting.
Yep.
And it's like, you can't do lollipops. It's like, lollipop is the longest word, you just go as you're typing something. Apparently.
Someone's going to message
us. But for all I know, with, like, swaggy and YOLO, maybe there's a new word now. I just don't even know.
There's some stupid trivia for anybody listening. Find us the longest word you can type in one hand and send it in.
Yeah.
Right or left.
You could win
a prize of monuments.
of bragging rights.
We'll put your win in the dictionary.
Now these guys will brag about you at the show next time,
yes,
maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the dude!
With that thing.
The dude with the thing that did the, you know what? Yeah.
Everyone
with the fingers and the mustache.
The mustache.
So, any other big plans coming up?
No, it's not it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just stoked to, like, release the record. It'll be, I guess, fun to have it out. Like Brock was saying earlier, we've released, like, a lot of songs over the past, like, year, and I'm just excited to get the stuff that we haven't released, like, light
all together.
A couple cool secret collaborations coming up on the record as well with some guys we're very proud to have worked with.
Yep. That's one of the things that moving forward our band is going to be priding ourselves on, is we do enjoy the collaboration aspect of being in a band, because, like, a lot of our heroes, you know, it's like there's, like, a nucleus of creative energy, and they have people come and go and, like, contribute and do their little thing to it. Mm-hmm. So we really like that.
So who does the majority of writing?
What we all do, all three of us. Like, Tim wrote, like, almost entirely wrote one of our most popular songs called Horror Beyond Imagination, or Ian will be like, hey, here's the lyrics, all I gotta do is give me some chords. Mm-hmm. It's really always different every time, and mm-hmm. I think that's That's the answer bands usually say for us. It really is like we just keep each other on our toes. Maybe Tim and I write something.
We'll pick up one idea and then we'll kind of bring it to everyone and we'll just say, let's flesh it out.
We've like, even all three of us wrote lyrics before. Right? Yeah. Because just sometimes, you know, Ian will write the lyrics, but we had all kinds of scenarios, instances for our songs, which we enjoy and it keeps us just satisfied, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like one of the things like Brock and I have talked about since, I guess, almost the beginning of starting working together is like we both love like bands that do like concept records. And it's like, I'm not like a virtuoso, and I don't think any of us are when it comes to like being creative and writing. I don't think we could write a concept record like by ourselves. So, you know, when you bring people in, it allows you more ideas to expand. And I think that eventually that would be like a nice goal to have.
Yeah.
Is, you know, something that we can all say like, yeah, like we started with an idea and we did 12 songs and the lyric content all flows together and there's, you know, these overreaching musical tones and all that. I know it sounds really like hoity-toity, but it is kind of like
it is a dream.
Well, you got to follow your dreams. Maybe one day you'll have that album out, and you'll definitely have to send it to me so
definitely.
I can. Assuming I'm still podcasting at that point in time.
Oh yes. Assuming we're even making music around that time.
Hey, you never know.
In this world of come and go with bands, it's like the very few like stick it out. It's less. Did you write a concept record, and did you, you know, agree over where you slept the previous night on tour, and not like just explode into
how many ways drops are in your song?
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, it is amazing though. It's kind of like all of these bands. We were thinking about this the other day. It's like all the bands we kind of when we started our band that were around. Like they're no longer bands. It's really weird.
And I think being the age of 24 now more than ever, there's pressure from life and society for musicians our age to say like, guys, I need to have a kid right now. I need to get married. I need to have a university degree, so I think a lot of bands our age are at that point where every day that goes by is like a fragile, like, I guess we're done because we didn't get $1 million or something. So they have this really skewed perception of what it means to be a successful band.
Yeah.
So have you ever heard of the Marvelous Bohunks?
Marvelous Bohunks?
No.
Okay, yeah. They're from Oshawa. The Schwa.
The Schwa, the dirty Schwa.
Oshawa.
Yeah, been there, done that. They were together back in the early 90s, split up. Two of the band members got a group going again, and they just put out their second album.
There you go.
So it's possible. You could split up, have some lives, get back together in a few years.
Anything's possible. We our allegiance is to music, not to people. So it's as long as the music can still bring people together, then that's what it's all about.
So music is fantastic.
Yep.
Anything else?
I think we're good.
I think that's it.
Well, thank you guys for taking the time out to talk to me. And hopefully I can catch up with you on tour at some point.
You know it.
Listening to Insomnia Radio Canada.
So hopefully I haven't bored you too much with that kind of lengthy interview. And I know we got off track a few times. So that was me talking to the guys from Double Experience back, I think it was the end of April. Yeah, it took me a while to get around to editing that song. I did play these guys back on show number 36, Musical Hodgepodge, because I played a little bit of everything on that show. There is an interview that they did with Canadian Beats back in February. I will see if I can remember to put links to that in the show notes. And they do have quite a bit of stuff up on SoundCloud. The song I'd really love to play for you today is Here's Why, but I don't have a copy of it. So go to SoundCloud and leave it a listen. It's fantastic. And hopefully we'll be back to the norm on the next show doing a whole lot of music. So thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the interviews and I've got interviews on the brain apparently. Just one interview, but hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I'm going to close out with a copy of the song I played on show 36, so Who the Hell. Enjoy. These guys are now touring down through the States. Tour dates are on their webpage, so go check them out if you are in the States and in their area. Let them know I sent you. So thanks for tuning in again today. Drop me some feedback at chris@insomniaradio.net, on Twitter at IR_Canada, and we'll catch you around.
I refuse to believe you, and I refuse. This podcast is a member of the Association of Music Podcasting.